10 ways God is different from us.
He is so different from us,
and aren't we glad of it? Tonight, Denise Reed is going to be talking about how God is self-existent, the God of infinite creativity. But before she gets up, let me give you a little information, background about Denise. Denise was born and raised in Alva, Oklahoma, and moved to Edmond in 2011. She and her husband, Anthony, have been married for 37 years, and together they have 5 children. Lauren and her husband, Evan, of Edmond, Anthony of Oklahoma City, Trevor and his wife, Casey, of Edmond, Tanner of Edmond, and Shelby of Edmond. They're populating Edmond. They are also proud grandparents to 3 grandchildren. We always have to get our grandchildren in there, don't we? They're valuable. Ellie, Jack, and Jane. Denise is the daughter of Tom and Joy Hardiman of Edmond. And they're members here at Memorial Road. And they are in our class. They are just wonderful, wonderful people. Love them. And her sister and brother-in-law, Dana and Mickey Job, as well as her aunt and uncle Rex and Betty Hardiman, are also part of the Memorial Road Church family. Denise earned her education from both Northwestern Oklahoma State University and Oklahoma State University, and today she serves as president of her family's business, Alva Roofing Company, located in Oklahoma City. At Memorial Road, you can often find Denise and Anthony greeting families on Sunday mornings at the preschool reception desk. Denise is also deeply involved in the prison ministry, where she teaches and serves alongside other women at the Mabel Bassett Correctional Facility. In her free time, Denise enjoys reading, taking walks, traveling, camping, and exploring new lakes and small towns with her husband. She's a passionate fan of Oklahoma City Thunder basketball team. There are many of us here. And nothing brings her more joy than spending time with family and cheering on her grandchildren at their events. And so without further ado, let me let you engage with Denise Reed.
Welcome. This is a little different crowd for me to speak to. I speak to the ladies at the prison, and I'm telling you, it is always a joy because they are eager to learn and absorb God's word. And so I know you will be too. If you don't mind, let's have a prayer real quick, and then we'll get started. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we can come together to learn more about you. Please open our hearts to what you want us to hear through your word during this time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Self-existent, the God of infinite creativity. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. By Cecil Alexander. I already said welcome. I want to say welcome again, because maybe some of you tonight weren't sure you were going to be here, weren't sure you were interested. Maybe you were worn out from chasing kids. Maybe you just had life stresses today. Maybe you were tired. But thank you for making the effort here. I had a few kids in my day. I still have them, but they're just not in my house. And I can remember there were times when I didn't really want to go, but every time I was blessed because of it. Like you said, I have some amazing parents, amazing aunt and uncle, have had some amazing mentors in my life, good Christians that have taught me well, so hopefully I will make them proud. When Barbara reached out and asked if I was interested in teaching, I took it as a challenge. At some point, she asked all of us, which chapter do you want to teach? And I just started reading the book, and I said, okay, you pick the one. And I think you must have peeked inside my heart, because what I'm going to be teaching on tonight, I needed to be reminded of. And I hope that maybe you needed a reminder as well. Okay, so while I know poor me here, but while I was preparing for this lesson, I made a visit to Switzerland, wrote it off as a class expense. I'm teasing. But since some of us might have come in and been tired for the day, I'm going to share just a few pictures because in preparation of this lesson, I wanted to really take the time. None of these are filtered, by the way. This is on Lake Geneva. But I took the time at different places just to sit down and just look at God's creation and the amazing work that he did, and just to be grateful and thankful. This is another picture that's just on, I'm actually in Montreux, and we're just looking out at the lake. Okay, now I'm going to point out something, because I'm not a photographer. And you might look and go, Denise, you got half of a construction site in your picture. Well, I'm a roofer. You know, that is beauty. I don't roof, but we roof. And I mean, that was exciting to me. And so if you look through most of our, not most, but our pictures, we have downspouts, we have roofs, but I feel like every hotel I go to, I'm gifted at a roof outside my window, so I had to include it. By the way, my husband's a fire marshal, so we take pictures of fire hydrants, too. Anyway, just some beautiful sights in Switzerland, and I just always continue to be amazed of what God can create. Genesis 1, it starts out, God created heavens and the earth. Self-existent means to exist independently of any other person or cause. God, who himself, uncreated, creates everything. From nothing, he creates something. And he creates something simply by the power of his word. We all have areas of giftedness. Thank goodness our gifts are different. Because we are human and our creativity is limited by the simple truth that we are human. As humans, we create using what already exists. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and exist." A.W. Tozer captures these ideas beautifully. Man is a created being, a derived and contingent self, who of himself possesses nothing, but is dependent each moment for his existence upon the one who created him after his own likeness. The fact of God is necessary to the fact of man. Thank God away, and man has no ground of existence. We have some key scriptures for tonight to understand why God's self-existence. In Exodus 3:14, where God is talking to Moses, he states, "I am who I am." God is not... Oh, I thought, did I add music to the slide? God is not becoming or evolving. He is eternal, self-existent. He is uncreated, unlike everything else. And then in Acts 17:24-25, he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. God is a giver, not a taker. All life and breath come from him. Colossians 1:16-17, in him all things hold together. Christ is not just a creator, he's a sustainer. He upholds all things. Difference between us and God. God is self-existent. We are very dependent. God needs nothing, we need everything. He originates all, and we reflect and borrow. The beauty of God's creative work. In Genesis 1, creation speaks of God's creativity in order, diversity, diversity, and beauty. And in Psalms, God creates ecosystems, creatures, and he sustains them all. Every star, bird, color, and melody points to the Creator's imagination. God creates from nothing. We need materials, ideas, inspirations. That's why we have Pinterest boards, right? God needed nothing. He speaks and it is. That is infinite creativity. We reflect, not originate. Genesis 1:27, made in God's image. But we are always working with what he has already made. Examples of human creativity: the art, music, gardening, parenting, writing, planning. These are beautiful echoes of divine creativity, but never self-sufficient. Okay, I'm going to read just kind of a paraphrase of a story from Daniel 4. By the hand of the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar rises to great power as king of Babylon. One day, as he walks on his palace rooftop, looking out over his kingdom, his creator complex is exposed. Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? We might shorten that brief speech and even further to its most basic points. I am who I am. To which God essentially responds, well, no, actually, you're not. Certainly, Nebuchadnezzar has stacked existing stones into palaces, rearranged a palette of existing colors into hanging gardens, reordered existing power structures into a massive monarchy, but he has done so by the will of the Creator. He has not created something from nothing, and the Creator intends for him to recognize this truth. So God removes him from power, retracts the gift he has entrusted to him, and lays him low in the dust from which he came for a period of time. In essence, the lesson to be learned is this. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar, we've seen what you can do with something. Now let's see what you can do with nothing. The once mighty ruler descends into madness of a wild hair, vagrant, grass-eating, claw-nailed variety. When the time of the king's humbling is complete, his sanity is restored. I have another story that I'm going to read, and it's not my story, but it's maybe something that you can relate to. There was a season in my life where everything I thought I had built started to fall apart. It wasn't sudden. It was slow. First, I lost my job. At the time, I thought it was just a setback. Then came a financial strain, followed by tension in my relationships. It felt like life was peeling everything away from me, layer by layer. I had always considered myself strong and capable. I thought I was doing everything right, working hard, making plans, setting goals. But somewhere along the way, I started relying more on me than on God. I prayed, but it was more like a formality than a lifeline. God had become an accessory to my life, not the source of it. One night I remembered sitting alone in an apartment, my bills stacked on the table, the silence around me feeling heavier than usual. I had no answers, no clear path forward, and for the first time in a long time, I felt empty, completely empty. It was in that moment that I finally said something real to God, not polished, not religious. I just said, God, I have nothing left, nothing but you. And I felt him say softly but clearly, now you finally understand. I'm all you ever needed. Brokenness can be a gift. It's often when everything else is stripped away that we see God most clearly. Sometimes a blessing is the breaking because it brings us back to the one who holds us together. True dependence is the foundation of strength. I used to think being dependent made me strong. Now I know that being dependent on God is what gives me real strength. Sometimes we see our gifts as self-generated. We move into idolatry of self, and we do this in a lot of different ways. I kind of feel like God has a sense of humor. Has any of you ever experienced that humor? One of my periods of humor was I had a 9-year-old and I had an 11-year-old. That's right. Don't check me, Aunt Betty. And thought I was done having kids, and a positive pregnancy test came, and I thought, okay, well, one more wouldn't be so bad, and I had twins. And I remember thinking God wouldn't give me any more than what I could handle, but I was pretty sure he got me confused with someone else. And anyway, here they came. So I'm going to tell a few stories on them. But in talking about these, our gifts as self-generated, when we move it to idolatry of self. So we do this in our families, in thinking of our families, going, oh, well, I had these kids. I spent all my time and my money on them. They owe me obedience and worship. They better make me proud. And then God's humor comes into play. My dad had purchased a house kind of for an investment property in Alva. And it was a large house. It was owned by a couple of old ladies that owned the bank. And they spared no expense on putting furnishings in this house. And outside, nice courtyard area, they had marble benches, several of them that I guess you could sit and ponder whatever you were going to ponder. Anyway, my husband went up there because he was going to do a little maintenance work. And the twins, I don't know, twins or Tanner and Trevor. The twins went with him and apparently did their own thing while he was fixing something. The next day, I was at work and I got a call from a neighbor of this where this house is, and said they had called the police because there was graffiti on the property. And I'm thinking, my goodness, we're supposed to be watching out for this for my father, and here now we have a mess. And she said, yes, and the interesting thing is they have taken spray paint and written on the marble benches, and it says Tanner and Trevor. I didn't teach them if they were going to do graffiti. They didn't spell their names. But anyway, it wasn't one of my prouder moments. God tends to humble us pretty quickly when we think that we have everything under control. We do this with our jobs. We build a career. We go to school. We pour all our energy and talents for years into careers. And sometimes we think, without this, without me, this company would be nothing, kind of an attitude. Always moving to the next job, believing that we're undervalued and underappreciated. I can remember, before roofing, I was in the hospital business for 20 years. I was a chief financial officer there. And one day I got a call. Okay. Let me set up my home life, my crazy home life at that time. I had, the twins were somewhere 6 months old. And that day I was wearing a black suit, and I would go home at lunch and I would help feed them and then go back to work. Okay, a few days before that I get a call from the high school and they said, hey, we'd like to bring some kids in. And have you talked to him about what you do at the hospital? We're talking about different careers. And I said, okay, great. I would love to do that. I was feeling pretty good about myself. A bunch of high school kids. I was going to teach them something. And so I had gone home at lunch and had come back and was there in time for the class. And so I start my presentation. And it went really well. And I was just feeling pretty darn good. They left. I said goodbye. It was nice to meet you. I go to the bathroom, and I have sweet potatoes all over the side. I was humbled. I was humbled. We do it in ministry. We see a need, and we make something happen. We give selfishly of our time and our resources, and we make statements in our head like, no one else could have made the impact that I made. We didn't get the recognition that we deserved. However, our heavenly mansion will be huge. We take credit for lives changed and clearly believe we have this ministry thing nailed. I have fallen into that before as well. I teach out at Mabel Bassett, and sometimes I'll see things and I'll think, oh, wow, we really made a change, or we made an impact. And I have to always remember, it's God that's doing the work. Always, I have to remember that. We want credit for something we have been called to steward. We give worship to ourselves instead of the Creator. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that God hasn't given you? Nothing. All worship is owed to God because He created us. He is our origin. Anything we create or accomplish originates not in us, but in Him. When we see ourselves as originators instead of reflectors, we rob God of His glory. By author Jen Wilkin. How should we live in the light of God's self-existence? Worship. We stand in awe of God, who needs nothing, yet created us and loves us. He didn't make us out of lack, but out of abundance. Humility. Embrace your limits. It was real refreshing when I was reading this to remember that I'm human and I have limits, because I tend to put a lot of pressure on myself to do things right, and to be reminded that I have limits for a reason was somewhat of a relief. You depend on God for your breath, your insight, and your rest. Don't be ashamed of needing help. It's part of being created. I would also add, don't rob somebody of a blessing to help you. I know how I have felt when others have asked me for help. But just don't rob them of that blessing. Others have so much to help or so much to offer you. And remember, we have limits. Stewardship of creativity. Use your gifts as acts of worship. What's it called? What's that called that we have the little green stickers, and it's, what is it? The mission statement, that's what it was. I was thinking of that as I was reading this, because I the first thing that entered my mind was good works, good works, good works. What can we do in those works to worship Him? Recognize where your creativity comes from and offer it back to God. And for sure, trust Him. If God is self-existent and holds all things together, you must trust Him when you feel things are out of control. He is not limited like we are, and that's really good news. Three questions to ask yourself. How does God's self-existence reshape your view of your creativity? Where do you try to act independently of God? How can your gifts reflect His glory this week? Romans 11:36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him by the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to get done a little early. Okay, I have a final prayer if you'll bow with me. Heavenly Father, maker of heaven and earth, You who spoke light into darkness, who formed the stars, the seas, and every living thing, we come before You in awe and humility. You are the source of all life, the breath behind every heartbeat, the wisdom behind every design, from the towering mountains to the depths of the oceans, from the vast galaxies to the smallest seed. All creation sings of Your glory. Father, You formed us in Your image with love, purpose, and divine intention. You knit us together and placed eternity in our hearts. Who are we, O Lord, that You are mindful of us? We praise You, our Creator and Sustainer. We thank You for the beauty of Your creation, for the rhythm of the seas, for the gift of life, and for the promise of Your everlasting presence. Teach us to walk gently upon the earth, to honor all You have made, and to live as stewards of Your creation, grateful, humble, and full of wonder. Help us to remember that our value lies in who created us and not in what we have created. Let our lives reflect Your glory, and may our hearts always return to You. Our Father in heaven, the One who creates, redeems, and restores. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for... Now, this was really an interesting subject. And it demands some self-examination, doesn't it? And you did that as you prepared the lesson, and I think we can all do that. And I loved the term that was used. Whatever you have, whatever talent, whatever you have that you might feel good about, you're just stewards of the gift that God made you. And so we use that, and then we praise God and use that. That God's name be praised. So that was an excellent lesson. Thank you very much. I was thinking, and I will share this with you, because I think it kind of applies. Last night, I have a grandson who is an excellent piano player. And his brother plays the drums, and he's really good. But the one who plays the piano, he's 11. He's been playing for a couple of years, and he's really good at it, that God's given him that gift. But he loves the classical music. He learned to play Handel's Messiah, and he loves all that kind of stuff. So he was really excited to hear that the community orchestra was going to be at OC last night. And so my husband and I took them. And we sat, for the first part of the program, we sat on the second row. But then there was intermission, and then we sat on the front row. And I noticed him, he was just kind of doing this, really enjoying the music. And at one point, I kind of shut my eyes and just let the music just kind of engulf me. And I thought, this is really amazing. And when you think of music like that, you've got violins, cello, violins, violas, cellos, bass. That's just the stringed instruments. Then you've got the the horns. You got, I know there was a bassoon, maybe an oboe, some horns in there, and drums. And how all those different instruments come together to make that beautiful, melodic, very often powerful sound. And I thought, and I think this is where it applies, every one of those players on the stage playing an instrument was gifted. They had a skill. But taking that skill and putting it all together took someone else to write that music. And I said this to one of my grandsons. I said, isn't it amazing how a mind can write that music for all those different instruments and for it to come together like that? That creativity is amazing. But isn't that what God does? He gives each one a gift. You know, you've got the first violins, but you've got the second violins, and you've got, I mean, a full orchestra. Every instrument and every player is important. But it's more than just getting the music, putting it on the stand, getting your instrument ready, and playing. No, there's preparation before that. You take the music, the sheet music, which is your instructions, and then you play it every day, several times a day, until you get it right, until you can play it. And you know what? They don't put the sheet music under their seat. That sheet music is still there on the music stand for them to still look at it. And that's like us. We've got our instructions, we've got our Bibles, and it teaches us how to live and how to utilize our gifts. But we never put it down because we practice, but we're not quite perfect yet, but we practice because we've got the instructions. And when we do His will according to our gifts and the instructions He's given, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And every one of you is a beautiful life that God has created. All of our skills are different, but they all go together beautifully, and we work together to God's glory.